Hi, Mark. My
Hi there.
question is,
What's your name?
hi, Lewis.
Okay, Louis. How can I help?
Yes, how do you handle an abstinent spouse statement? We have nothing in common other than the kids. And once we are able to move forward, progressively incorporate personal interests without neglecting my spouse.
So how do you handle a spouse who says that we have nothing in common other than the kids? And then I lost you after that. What did you say after that?
Yeah.
Or was that it? Was that your question?
That was my question, but it was almost like a two-part. And being that the second part, once we are able to move forward progressively, I can incorporate personal interests without neglecting my spouse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's try to take them one at a time. Look, you have to appreciate that the obstinate spouse doesn't usually say what's true. They say what they think they have to say to try to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. So you have to be very careful, and it's a big mistake that people in the Lone Ranger track make, is they take what their spouse is saying sometimes too seriously and too literally. In other words, in your question, you're assuming that just because your wife said now, in January of 2015, that we have nothing in common, you're assuming that, that's the problem with our marriage, is we have or had nothing in common. But I can just tell you from experience that it doesn't work that way. Having nothing in common is probably not the problem in your marriage. It's a symptom of the problem in your marriage. People feel that they have nothing in common when they're not connected. And when they are connected, you know what they have in common? The only thing that matters, that connection. It's the relationship. That's what we have in common. And that's what we need in common. I don't believe that having things in common and this whole, I call it the compatibility myth, you know, that somehow we're compatible. We like to go to the same movies. We like to listen to the same music. It's so bogus and narrow-minded. I mean, if you were to meet, like in a personal way, my wife and I, we are so incredibly different in so many ways. And so many of our interests are so different. But what's that got to do with our marriage? You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in her. And you know what she's interested in? She's interested in me. And when you're interested in each other, then you take an interest in each other's interests. It doesn't have to be your passion. It doesn't have to be what you would do if you weren't married to this person. Who cares about the interest? Or, you know, what I care about is you. And so I take an interest. Do you know how many hours and hours of classical music I've listened to? I mean, do you know, is anybody on the line, does anybody know who Maxim Vengerov is? I bet you don't. Maybe there's one or two, okay? Well, 2 weeks ago, I flew to Oxford, England, right, for 3 days to meet Maxim Vengerov and see him in concert. It was a struggle to stay awake for the entire concert. But I had a great time. I mean, it was like a dream come true for my wife. So I don't buy this whole compatibility myth. And you shouldn't buy that that's the problem with your marriage. That's my point. I guarantee you that's not the problem. Also, let me approach the same point from a different angle. The point is that you know, what the obstinate spouse says is not necessarily what's true, but what they say is usually connected to what they're trying to accomplish. So for different reasons, again, not because you don't have anything in common. Your marriage is broken down, and your wife wants out, let's say. Okay, now, that wanting out, we're not talking here about wanting out of a real estate deal. We're not talking here about wanting to dump a stock. We're not talking here about a strategic career move. In other words, this is not an intellectual decision. This is not something that people calculate. It is something that comes from our heart, from our gut. I feel that this is broken, and I want to dispose of it. Once I come to that feeling, which leads me to a decision, right, the decision that I want out, now I've got to explain that decision. I've got to explain it to you. The truth is I have to justify it to myself, and I've got to explain it to the kids and my aunt and my mom and whoever else is going to ask. Now, I can't say to those people, you know, it's just how I feel. It's just a gut, you know, something in my gut. You know, I can't explain why. Nobody's going to say that, okay? People need to feel justified. They need to feel like they can explain it. But make no mistake about it. The explanation comes last. What comes first are the encounters that they have with you. What comes second are the negative feelings as a result of those encounters. They build up over the years. Finally, third comes the decision. And fourth comes the justification or the explanation. So by the time you hear, we've got nothing in common, you have to realize what's taken place. And you're focused on what you're hearing, which is the fourth step, we've got nothing in common, and you're thinking, ah, that's the problem. That's what I need to address. That's what I need to think about. That's what I need to attack. Don't be fooled. You really need to understand what came before there. That justification, that explanation, that declaration, we have nothing in common, that came long after the feelings. It came long after the decision. It came last, and it's the least important. That's why I spend so much time and energy in the program talking about how important it is to not talk about your marital situation, not try to talk to your spouse and accomplish something. Because the, you know, when you hear we don't have anything in common, your inclination is to try to talk about the fact that we don't have anything in common, to either convince your wife that we do have something in common, or we could have something in common, or we used to have something in common, or it's not true that we don't have anything in common, or, you know, you want to sort of attack what you're hearing, and you're focused on what you're hearing, thinking that that's what's important. It's not important. It came last. And that's why I spend so much time in the program asking you not to talk about the problems and the issues, and in general, not to talk. Say little, do much. Nobody ever talked their way out of something they behaved themselves into. And I've been doing this a long time, and thank God I've had the opportunity to see many, many successful reconciliations. I've never, ever seen somebody successfully reconcile because of something they said to their spouse, because of some conversation that they had with their spouse. Marriages change because of what people do, not because of what you say, but because of what you do. When you got married, you said, I do. And that's because the quality of your marriage and the success or failure, in this case of your reconciliation, is a result of what you do. And why is it a result of what you do? Well, think again about those four steps. What was the first step? The first step, which is the origin of everything, was what you did. There were interactions, actions, behaviors, patterns of behaviors between the two of you that led to, step two, negative feelings. The negative feelings led to, step three, the decision, and that decision led to, step four, finally, the rationalization, the justification, the explanation. Okay? If you want to solve this problem, if you want to fix this marriage, if you want to transform things, you got to go to the root. You got to get back to where it all came from, which were the interactions. And that's why this whole program is all about what to do, how to act, how to create interactions, even ones that don't require your spouse's participation, cooperation, or reciprocation. When I give a gift to my spouse, she doesn't have to participate. She doesn't have to cooperate. She doesn't have to reciprocate. I don't need her permission. That's just an example, of course. And I want you to appreciate one more point, and then I'm going to stop because I want to get to many other questions. I'll appreciate one other really important point, which is that you are able to take unilateral actions to create those interactions. You don't need your spouse's permission or cooperation. And those interactions will give rise to feelings in your spouse. They do not get to choose those feelings. Nobody gets to choose our feelings. We don't choose our feelings. I don't decide to love my spouse or to hate my spouse. I don't decide to feel happy or to feel angry or frustrated or resentful or whatever. I don't decide. Right? Your spouse didn't decide to fall out of love with you. They just did. Well, I shouldn't say they just did. They did as a result of the interactions that occurred between the two of you. All feelings emerge from interactions. They're not decisions. Most of you are feeling disempowered, like somehow you can't affect things here, and that what your spouse thinks and feels is not in your control. That is not true. What they are thinking and feeling now is a result of things that have happened before, and that's not in your control. But what they think and feel tomorrow, next week, and next month, that will be a result not so much of what's happened in the past, but what happens over the next day, month, week, whatever. And that you do have control over. Not complete control, but you do have control. You can create interactions unilaterally that will give rise to feelings, and your spouse won't have a choice about what kind of feelings those they give rise to. And that's really what the whole program is about. I'm basically teaching you how to create interactions that will give rise to positive feelings, whether your spouse wants it or not. Now, of course, they will never let you know that asking their opinion about that matter meant something to them. They'll never let you know that expressing gratitude in the way you did touched them. They'll never let you know that that gift that you gave them that was really sensitive really moved them. They won't let you know. In fact, they will probably let you know the opposite. Not because it's true, but once again, because it's consistent with what they're trying to accomplish, which could get us into the whole discussion, but I'm not going to go there, of why your spouse's response or reaction to your efforts is a terrible indication of how you're doing. Sometimes it's even a counterindicator to how you're really doing.